A silvery grey shield with WB inside it, Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Vapor trails waft over the shield. It transforms to become the moon in a starry sky. Green captions, Warner Brothers Pictures presents a Mosaic Media Group production, a Raja Gosnell film. A silhouetted winged creature flies across the moon. Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed. Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, Matthew Lillard, Linda Cardellini, Seth Green, Peter Boyle, Tim Blake Nelson, and Alicia Silverstone. A moonlit bay with mountains in the background. Along the shoreline at the base of the mountains, twinkling lights are reflected in the calm, deep blue water. On the near bank, high buildings illuminate the night. The winged creature dives towards this metropolis. Casting by Mary Vernier. Co-producers James Gunn, Alan G. Glazer. Costumes designed by Lisa Evans. Visual effects supervisor Peter Crossman. Music supervisors Laura Z. Wasserman and Darren Higman. The winged creature avoids a train. Music by David Newman. Edited by Kent Bader, ACE. Production designer Bill Bowes. Director of photography Oliver Wood. The creature speeds over the dark streets. Executive producers Brent O'Connor, Kelly Smith-Waite and Joseph Barbera, based on characters created by Hanna-Barbera Productions, produced by Charles Roven, Richard Suckle, written by James Gunn, directed by Raja Gosnell. The creature drops through a manhole as crowds cluster around an impressive building.
Here we are, folks, on the red carpet at the grand opening of the Cousonian Criminology Museum. Tonight's premier exhibit is a rousing look back at the exploits of Mystery Incorporated. And here they are.
From a colorful stretch limo emblazoned with the words The Mystery Machine, step Fred and Daphne.
Folks, this crowd is going crazy over Mystery Inc.
Young girls surround Fred.
Here you go, girls. I got an ascot for each of you.
The handsome Fred hands over neckerchiefs. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo emerge.
He's a Shaggy Scoob quaking, the whole city shaking.
Scooby steals Shaggy's drink.
Come on, Scooby.
The cup sticks on Scooby's nose. He shakes it free. It splatters over the chauffeur.
Rory.
I consider it a privilege, sir.
Daphne! You two look beautiful. Thank you.
Daphne! Hi! We love you! We have your tattooed on our chest!
Two large young men bare their chests.
That's very sweet.
Velma!
The final member of Mystery Inc. goes to a group of indie chick fans.
Sign it, please! We love you, Velma!
Thanks.
I love her so much.
May I have a word with Coolsville's hottest detectives?
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. That's your word. Come on, dear, we're late. Heather Jasper Howe at the grand opening of the new Coulsonian Criminology Museum with our guests of honor, the Master Detectives of Mystery Incorporated.
Shaggy climbs the stairway, sniffing to the amusement of groovy fans.
Right on!
A group of real dogs acknowledge the animated hero. Sign my bowl, barks one. Tug on my chew toy, says another. Sniff my butt, barks a bulldog.
With all your success, are you still going to have time for all of us here in little old Coolsville?
Of course, little old Coolsville can solve its problems without us, but we'll always be here to help. The people of Coolsville are the best in the world!
Standing on the steps leading up to the museum, Mystery Inc. bask in the adulation a grumpy old man watches. Later inside...
Fred, can you tell us a little bit about the exhibit?
Absolutely. Mystery Inc. is proud to donate the costumes of criminals we've unmasked in the past.
Like the Black Knight ghost.
Our very first case.
The 10,000 volt ghost.
Uh-huh.
The skeleton men, and even the dreaded pterodactyl ghost.
Velma is by a weird exhibit.
We've also donated the costumes of some of our more ridiculous foes, like Chickenstein.
Velma, can we get a shot of you next to the Black Knight?
Yes, Velma, over here. Right here.
Ridiculous. Obviously, she forgot that dude tried to pluck us.
Guys, come on, remember what I told you.
Never pick your nose in public.
No, but that's good, too.
Remy is everything.
Yes, Image is everything. Okay, the whole city's watching, so try and keep a brave face.
They look up.
They're costumes.
All right.
They're by the pterodactyl ghost.
She's right, Scoob. How close they look. Totally fake.
The ghost's eyes blink. Fred's being interviewed.
The tar monster scared the locals of the city of Byzantius away in order to take their treasure. But on the positive side, he'd pave your driveways for free. Isn't that right, Velma?
Velma's distracted.
Velma?
Velma's staring dreamily at a young suited man with short, ready brown hair and specs on, who's striding confidently across the room towards her. Velma has glossy dark brown bobbed hair and thick black-rimmed specs on. The man trips over. He jumps back up. He straightens his jacket and joins Velma, who smiles shyly at him. Daphne joins the pair.
Hi.
Hi. Daphne, this is Patrick Wisely. He's the curator here at the museum. It's very nice to meet you, Patrick. I hope you'll be working closely with our Velma on this ever-expanding exhibit.
She pushes them closer as she goes.
Listen, Velma, I know that you're a glamorous, mysterious, jet-set adventurer preoccupied with international intrigue and all.
Oh, yes. That's me.
I know, but, there's a symposium coming up on the syntactic reasoning in the criminal brain.
I have always found a criminal's inclination to incorrectly use the interrogative pronoun in place of the relative delightfully absurd.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, well, so maybe you'd want to go together.
What do you mean, like a
date with me?
Oh, I can't, Patrick.
Oh.
Mystery is my mistress. I must heed her sweet call.
Okay.
Velma turns from a disappointed Patrick and walks unhappily away, rolling her eyes with a rueful expression on her face. Lightning flashes outside the Grand Museum Hall, shattering a large arched window and showering a string quartet with glass. The crowds back away and the press pack stir. Velma, Fred and Daphne stand together. Daphne's attention is drawn to long red curtains that cover one of the tall glass display cases. Ghoulish green smoke wafts out from inside. She steps forward and pulls back the curtains, coming face to face with the snarling pterodactyl ghost.
Oh boy!
The pterodactyl breaks out of the case.
Daphne!
Go there, get it!
Cameramen rush to film the huge, beaky beast as it flaps off across the grand hall. Fred's with the girls.
We need to come up with a plan.
Hiding is our plan! In case you haven't noticed, there's an unidentified freaky object in here!
It grabs the Black Knight.
The curtains. We're on
them. Come on, you chickens! Grab those ropes!
Okay,
but chickens are good with ropes!
They wrap curtains around the pterodactyl.
We got him, Dash.
Yeah, use the ropes to tie him
up! It's just a costume! It's just a costume! It's just a costume! Let go!
Scooby and Shaggy have the rope ends tied to their wrists. The rope tied around the curtain slips down, revealing the angry green pterodactyl standing, tapping his finger-like talons. With the rope still caught around his legs, the pterodactyl swoops off, dragging Shaggy and Scoobs with him. They're dragged along, knocking over a woman on the way.
Sorry!
We have to save Shaggy and Scooby!
As usual!
The pterodactyl still has the Black Knight suit of armor in its grasp. Trailing behind it, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo clatter onto the buffet table. They're dragged towards a series of gas burners. The chefs scatter. Shaggy and Scooby bounce along the flames, sitting on walks.
Mystery Incorporated!
A cloaked figure stands high on the window frame.
This is only the first rung on the ladder of your demise.
The cloaked figure wears a full face mask. Shaggy and Scoobs crash into several other exhibits. One sends a cutlass spinning into the air. Daphne grasps it as it falls.
This time, you'll be the ones unmasked. As the buffoons you truly are!
Daphne strikes, cutting the rope and freeing Shaggy and Scoobs. The pterodactyl with the Black Knight and the 10,000-volt ghost exhibits escapes, taking the masked intruder with it.
Any clues to the cause of the attack? How did the dinosaur get through security? Where did Mystery Inc.'s plan go wrong? You. Any leads on the identity of the masked man?
Velma raises the plinth on which the pterodactyl ghost stood, under it a passageway.
A secret hatch. The real pterodactyl ghost must have come through here.
She spots something on the hatch and picks it up with her fingers. She holds it up to examine it as Fred and Daphne come over.
A reptilian scale. A most wonderful clue.
He stole two costumes. The Black Knight ghost and the 10,000 volt ghost. Why?
Fred, Daphne, could you answer a few questions for the press?
Daphne hauls Fred back.
Fred, I don't think that's a really good idea. We always face the press after we've unmasked the creeps. We looked ridiculous back there.
Don't worry about us, sweetheart. The press loves us.
Fred smiles smugly as he strides towards the attractive Heather Jasper Howe. Photographers click their cameras. Later in her news report...
The higher the pedestal, the harder the fall, and Mystery Inc. fell far. In the embarrassing debacle that tarnished the reputation of the once great gang. It was an utter disaster as two of the gang's key members, Norval Shaggy Rogers and Scoobert Scooby-Doo, are seen here causing untold damage to Coolsville's hottest new tourist attraction, which took a full 2 years to complete. When asked for comment, Fred Jones, leader of Mystery Incorporated, had this to say.
Little old Coolsville can solve its problems without us.
I didn't say that.
And I guess,
I mean,
little old Coolsville
I did,
have
but
to.
That's out of context.
Heather Jasper Howe, disillusioned from Coolsville.
Velma switches off the TV. The team are watching.
It's all my fault. I'm the one who told Shaggy and Scooby to get the ropes. No, Velma, it's my fault. I should have checked that they were tied before I let go.
It's my fault, too. We all know how Shaggy and Scooby can be. But it's all right. We just need to stay strong, in control, and work fast.
Come on, gang. Let's get to the lab. We'll figure a way out of this Jurassic jungle.
Shaggy and Scooby are slumped behind the breakfast counter, listening.
Wiggy? Who are your screw-ups?
Me?
I guess looking back, every time they made a plan, we did screw it up somehow. I never noticed before.
Me neither.
There's gotta be some way that we can prove that we actually belong in the gang. We've gotta do something totally unlike us. You know, Scoob? We could act like real detectives.
Really?
They leap to their feet.
Scooby-Doo, raise your right paw. No, your right paw. Scooby-Doo, your other paw. Now repeat after me. From this day forward, we will no longer be our goofy selves. We will be awesome detectives. And we will act more like Fred and Velma and Daphne. We will be terrific and fantastic and spectacular and cease to be loserific, lame-tastic, and sucktacular.
Rah-rah, sucktacular.
They stride into the lab.
Like it's time to solve the mystery. Let's kick this investigation up to an 11.
Rah!
What the heck are you guys doing?
Well, we figured the first step in solving a mystery would be to wear the right attire. I'm sorry, Daph, but your go-go boots didn't fit. Me?
Scooby-Doo's wearing them on his rear legs.
Scooby? Those so don't go with that sweater.
Really?
Lilac boots, orange sweater. A printout comes out of the computer. Shaggy snatches it.
Ah, clues. Alas, what are these strange markings?
Fred turns it the right way up.
Words.
Ah, words. Scooby-Doo, take notes.
Roger.
Come on, you boots. Okay.
Velma grabs it back. She reads it.
It's gonna be positive. This is a real pterodactyl scale.
Precisely.
That masked figure was out to humiliate us.
Maybe it's someone we unmasked. But who would be able to make a real pterodactyl ghost?
They all traipse over to another console.
The original pterodactyl ghost, Dr. Jonathan Jacobo.
That's right.
They recall a Jacobo robbery.
Jacobo wreaked havoc in a statewide crime spree.
He swoops down on security guards who drop their money cases.
Jacobo stole millions, which he used to finance fits trying to create monsters.
Come alive! Come alive!
Between two metal rods, a current flows into a blob of green jelly. A head and mouth form. The mouth spits out goo.
You think Jacobo's behind this?
Impossible. 3 years ago, he attempted a prison escape.
Jacobo, in striped convict's clothes, is balanced on top of a fortress high above waves, pounding on rocks far below. He has rigid bat-like wings attached to his arms. He jumps off.
So long, suckers! Help me, suckers!
body was lost at sea. Well, how about this? Jacobo's cellmate was released from prison 2 months ago. Jeremiah Wickles.
The Black Knight ghost. That was one of the costumes that was stolen.
Right! And,
They turn to Shaggy.
Scooby-Doo, what's your conclusion?
Bunny!
Scooby sketched a rabbit on his notepad. The Mystery Ink van with its lurid colors speeds down a highway.
It seems old man Wickles deserves a visit before any of our other creepy conquests make a comeback.
Freddy, up on the right.
Old man Wickles' ancestral manor.
They park up outside a large old manor house.
Oh, man. Another creepy crib. How come we can't ever investigate like a KFC or something?
Reggie!
Scooby airboxes.
All right. Then again, creepy is my middle name.
Grinning, Shaggy exits the van. Scooby's still airboxing.
Scooby!
Scooby's head hits the roof. He falls out.
Come on, Scoob!
Huh. Looks like a bit of a fixer-upper.
Two kids on bikes.
Hey! Nice job last night. Losers!
Quick, we need to think of a comeback.
What dorks?
Hey! Shut up!
Fred rings the doorbell.
You are trespassing on Wickles Manor. Leave now or pay the price.
What kind of jerk makes that his doorbell?
Dude, he just said we'd pay the price.
Shaggy, Shaggy, Shaggy. What could possibly happen by ringing a doorbell?
Fred pulls the doorbell and a trap door opens up beneath the gang. Everyone falls through it apart from Scooby, who scrambles in midair for a bit before plummeting after the others. They fall into a spherical cage which locks and then tumbles onto roller coaster tracks which loop crazily through the dungeons of Wickles Manor. The gang are spun around inside the sphere which eventually comes to rest at the end of the ride and is fixed in place by a machine. The gang lie in a heap at the bottom of the cage.
That's what can happen by ringing a doorbell, Fred. That!
At 7 p.m., the owner will be home to set you free.
Hey, you want to buy a box of cookies?
Excuse me. Have you heard the good news?
Yeah, there's cookies.
Oh, hey, what's your junk?
Sorry. Oh, brother. The lock's on a laser thumbprint scanner.
Oh, let me just get to my makeup.
Yeah, now? You know what, Velma? It's never too late to learn to properly apply makeup. Okay, the last good thumbprint should still be there. So, a little blush. A pore strip.
Pressed on the powdered thumbprint.
Velma.
The spherical cage springs open.
Nice. I enjoy being a girl.
The gang wander through the manor past a tall wooden statue with a sword. The brown is counting money from her cookie sale.
22,
Great for the cookies.
50. Welcome.
The two freed religious men and the brownie leave. Shaggy takes charge.
Okay, gang. Let's, like, split up and search for clues. Scoob and I will go this way.
Right.
Go on,
Scoob. Okay. He stole my thing that I say.
Fred's taken aback. Shaggy tiptoes down a spooky corridor lit by a chandelier. Scooby swings open an arched door and ambles into a bedroom.
Rooks for clues.
A safe with secret do not open on it.
A clue.
He finds some sunglasses and puts them on. Daphne, Fred and Velma follow some big fluorescent shoe prints on the floor.
Shiny footprints. The glow is similar to the pterodactyl scale.
Scooby finds a locked diary in a bedroom drawer with private do not read on the front cover. He takes out a pair of boxer shorts, sniffs them, and puts them on his head.
A clue!
Well, it looks like Wickles shares his old pal Jacobo's fascination with the supernatural. He collects everything from Peary Reese to Aleister Crowley. He collects dust, too.
The dust is good. We can tell what he's been reading.
Fred grabs a book from a shelf.
Right here.
What is it? It's an obsolete Celtic text used by secret societies in the mid-19th century. Look, the book belonged to J. Jacobo, the original pterodactyl ghost.
Maybe he gave it to Wickles before he died.
Grinning inanely, Shaggy finds an ancient-looking gramophone player. He winds the handle. Shaggy puts his head into the trumpet and it explodes into action. He backs out, covered in dust. Shaggy pulls the record off. Velma examines the book.
Can you read it?
It's an amalgamation of magic and science. There's a list of ingredients and how to create your own carbon-based organic composite predators. This is an instruction manual on how to create monsters.
Walking upright on his back paws, Scooby approaches Shaggy with an armful of household junk. Scoob drops the junk on the floor.
Those aren't clues, Scoob. Those are just things you want. Like, why is a toilet brush a clue?
Scooby-dooby-doo. Do-do-be-scooby.
Just because you can sing it at Scoob doesn't make it a clue. It just makes it awesome.
Exchanging glances, Scooby-dooby-doo.
Shaggy finds a post-it note.
Like, what's this?
He reads the note.
UFO ghost. Hey, we're luck. It's tonight, Scoob. We are detectives.
Really?
You found an actual clue.
They jig up and down. Shaggy drops the post-it note and Scooby runs up the wall and does a backflip. They body pop and Scooby does an Egyptian dance. They cringe in fear. Scooby jumps into the arms of a knight's suit of armor, then panics as green lights flash behind the knight's eyes and the armor comes alive. Scooby leaps off the Black Knight, leaving the boxer shorts on the knight's head and legs it with Shaggy.
Run, man!
Let's go.
Velma and the others run to help. Shaggy and Scooby have shut themselves into a room and are piling furniture up against the door.
Heavy stuff, Scoob!
Shaggy picks up one end of her grandfather clock.
Give me a hand, Scoob! See him get through this!
As Scooby helps with the clock, the Black Knight enters through a secret door.
We outsmarted that moron!
Yeah, what a moron!
The Black Knight hands Scooby a lampshade and Shaggy a suitcase.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Shaggy and Scooby back away from the Black Knight ghost into furniture piled by the door, which tumbles onto them as Fred bursts in with a shield.
Yo, metalhead! Bring it!
The ghostly knight strikes Fred's shield, which pounds into his head.
He brought it.
Fred passes out. The knight moves to strike Fred, but Daphne blocks his blows with a long-handled battle axe.
Daphne, hold him off! I'll look at the book. Maybe there's a formula for finding his weakness!
Daphne drags Velma out into the grand hallway. Velma consults the book as Daphne spars with the knight.
Here, to find the creature's weakest point! Take the angle between the current position of the sun and your geographical...
Daphne punctures the knight's ghostly belly.
That tickles.
This is bad. Multiply this number.
The knight slices Daphne's axe pole in two. Daphne leaps onto a table as the knight lifts his sword. The girls jump and the knight strikes the table instead. He chases Daphne upstairs, striking a mural post. To escape the knight's swinging sword, Daphne does the splits, then does sitting jumps and rolls up the stairs. Daphne kicks his ghostly sword away and it drops over the banister passing between Velma and the book. Velma pulls the book away. As the knight looks over the banister, Daphne jumps over his back and skates down the banister rail, flipping safely onto her feet at the bottom. The knight's sword pulls itself up and attacks the girls, who draw back. Daphne fights it off.
And subtract 9034. That's your wife!
No hands!
Any time would be great, Velma!
The knight grabs his sword and slices bits off the two parts of Daphne's battle axe.
Which makes his weakest point right here!
Velma kicks the knight in the crotch.
Right in the round tables!
Break your legs, Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
The whole gang run out of the manor house together, back at Mystery Inc. HQ.
I'm going to compare the glow of those footprints to the pterodactyl scale.
We'll check out Wickle's book.
Dude! The faux ghost is an awesome clue.
Yeah.
But what do we do with it?
Let's roll the mystery.
Oh, we solve the mystery by ourselves. Oh, it certainly proved to the gang that we belong.
Yeah.
Let's head to the faux ghost, find old man Wickles, and see what he knows. But first, let's give the gang the old slipperoonie.
Shaggy pulls a can of squirty cream out of the fridge and pumps some into Scooby's mouth, making his cheeks swell.
Huh? Hey, guys. Scooby's feeling kinda like he's got rabies.
Scooby has cream all around his lips.
We're just gonna go outside to get some Fresh air.
Fred and Daphne watch Shaggy and Scooby leave. In the lab, Velma uses a scanning machine to analyze the glowing pterodactyl scale. The word randomonium flashes on a monitor screen.
Jinkies.
She hurries out of the lab in her orange jumper and red skirt and takes back Wickle's Celtic book from Fred.
So, Phelps?
The analysis of the pterodactyl scale. It contains randomonium, which this book says is the critical ingredient needed to make monsters. Doesn't randomonium glow like those footprints we saw in Wickles' mansion?
If we can prove Wickles is behind this, this mystery goes down like a .com and Coolsville digs us again.
Where would he get randomonium? Randomonium is the byproduct of certain silver mines.
Like the abandoned mining town in Old Coolsville.
Then we better get to that mining town and see what's...
Patrick knocks at the door.
I'm invisible. I'm invisible.
Velma hides behind the couch.
Get rid of him! Keep him busy.
Velma crawls into the lab. Daphne follows her.
What are you doing? He wants to ask me on a date.
It's okay to be scared.
I am not scared. I've fought werewolves and ghosts, but in the end I know we usually unmask them and it's just a shrivelly little scared man inside.
Well, it's the same with dating. Velma, have you ever considered that maybe werewolves and ghosts are just distractions to keep you away from what really frightens you? Intimacy with another person. And by intimacy, I mean someone who thinks you're really hot. But I'm more comfortable in the world of logic and facts. And I'm not hot.
Daphne gives a gentle shrug.
Me neither. Everybody has flaws, Velma. The object of a healthy relationship is to never let the other person know they're there.
Two museums.
Daph, I really like this guy. What would you do if someone thought that you were some glamorous and mysterious jet setter? I'd make myself one.
Fred's entertaining Patrick in the lounge room. Velma appears in a tight red rubber catsuit with hair extensions and no glasses on. Patrick's smile fades.
Who's your mommy?
Patrick's taken aback.
My mommy?
Come on, let's solve a mystery.
The four of them stroll out to the van. Velma slips in her high heels. Velma towers over the mystified Patrick in her heels. Leading by example, Daphne struts past Velma with a seductive look. Velma sucks in her cheeks and tries to copy her, but simply trips over again.
Velma? Do you have to go to the bathroom?
No, I can't in this outfit.
Patrick opens the sliding door of the mystery machine van, and Velma climbs carefully in, straining in her red rubber catsuit. She sits down without bending her legs, and Patrick clambers in after her. Night, the silver mine looms by the old town.
Okay, Scooby-Doo, the coast is clear.
Here we go.
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo peep round from behind a stack of crates to see a large wooden-fronted building with flashing lights, the faux ghost.
That's it, Scoob, the faux ghost.
Man,
I recognize a lot of these cats. Like that C.L. Magnus, he used to dress up as Redbeard's ghost. And it's Aggie Wilkins, a.k.a. the Ozark Witch. These are all folks we unmask, Scoob. If they spot us, they're gonna invite us to a weenie roast. One where we are the weenies.
Hot dogs.
There's gotta be some way that we can use our awesome and fearless new skills to get us in there without being recognized.
This is Big Bro, taking over the show with this new flow. You need to listen up.
The inside of the faux ghost is crowded. A group of six are performing on stage, while waitresses carry trays of food and drinks to the clientele. Up on the balcony, some people are dancing. Down below, others sit at tables eating. The doors burst open and in stride Shaggy and Scooby in disguise.
Hey, hey, hey! Everyone part like the Red Sea! It's me, Shizzy McCreepy, and my brother, S.D. McCrawley. We are in the house and ready to partay!
Hey, handsome.
Hello, baby.
Zoinks!
Shaggy in a lurid green fedora and wide-lapelled suit and Scooby wearing a huge afro wig turn to see a Whack'em game. Mystery Inc. puppets are hit on the head by a punter, then darts the target's photos of Mystery Inc. A guy is flung through the air.
Oh,
Watch out, idiot!
Shaggy turns to the man beside him.
Old man Wickles.
Leave me alone.
Scooby scoops up a pickled egg with his tongue.
I just wanted to say thank you. Your portrayal of the Black Knight Ghost was like inspirational to my brother and me. Hey, have you done anything cool and creepy lately?
The old man leans in.
Listen, I'm not normally one for giving advice, but I feel sorry for you because of your brother's huge, hideous nose deformity. Get out of this game while you got a chance. All of us here ain't nothing to admire. We needed people to believe we were different than we were. Maybe because we believed that there was something wrong with who we were in the first place.
I guess you're sort of grateful to Mystery Inc. for unmasking you.
Are you kidding?
He crushes a handful of peanuts.
I see those twerps. I'd tear their eyes out of their skulls and make them eat the one eye while watching themselves eat it with the other eye.
He slams the handful of peanuts back into the bowl, then grins.
Bye.
Shaggy and Scoob skedaddle.
Here's a clue for you, Scoob. That dude's wearing his freak hat 24/7. I gotta take a whiz. Don't do anything to attract attention.
Right.
Hey, doll. You wanna dance?
Groovy.
She leads him to the dance floor.
Here we go.
Scooby is wearing a floral patterned jumpsuit with big flares. He stands opposite Aggie and gives it his all. They high five. Scooby tosses his head and his wig pops off and back on again. They point at the other dancing couples who stop and spin round, staring. Here we are now, blowing up now. All the dancers on the floor join in a straight line, Scooby dead center. He strides out and turns to face them all, prancing all the while. He bounces back past the others and leaps up onto the stage with the group and struts his stuff. He leaps into the air and is carried aloft by the dancers. Moments later, Shaggy spots Scooby jumping from the balcony. He's caught by four guys, gets up and dances some more. His wig starts to come off. Shaggy frantically tries to indicate to Scooby-Doo his wig is falling off, revealing his pointed doggy ears. Scooby copies Shaggy's gestures, as do the other dancers behind him. One final shake of the head and the wig flies into a big guy's dinner. Scooby dances on, oblivious. Everyone else stops.
Hi! It's Scooby-Doo! The meddling mutt would help throw us in jail!
No, wait, that's not Scooby-Doo! That's him! That's Esteem McCrawley! He's just wearing a mask!
Shaggy stretches Scooby-Doo's cheeks out, then lets it go.
And that's Stu's beatnik best pal!
Shaggy Rogers!
Where?
There.
Shaggy and Scooby make a break for it through the hostile crowd, who are all shaking their fists at the duo. The two of them dive into a garbage chute. They emerge down below in the rubbish. Amongst the bin bags, Scooby finds a fish skeleton. He gets it in his mouth.
That wasn't so bad, Scoob.
Whoops, another load of garbage lands on top of them. In the back of the mystery machine van, the glammed up Velma is fanning herself with her hand. Patrick sitting beside her and Daphne watch. Velma turns to Patrick.
Well, that was my outfit, I swear.
Patrick, a little smile on his face, turns to her. She leans forward. She squirms.
You know, Velma, you are as beautiful as ever. You're just so different than I expected. You know, I'm just...
They approach the museum.
Oh my goodness.
What the heck's going on?
This cannot be good.
There are police all around the entrance.
Let me see him.
Velma chases after Patrick towards the steps.
Wait.
Heather, the TV reporter.
Any comments on the museum robbery?
Mystery Inc. is currently investigating the two stolen costumes.
No, the one that just happened.
The one where the Black Knight and the pterodactyl ghost stole the rest of the costumes?
The rest of the costumes?
Patrick bursts into the museum through the glass-paned double doors. Velma's right behind him. Only the plinths on which the exhibit stood remain. Outside...
So what you're saying is, it's all downhill for Mystery Inc.
No! Hey, you're doing that thing again where you take everything I say out of context. You're trying to make it look like I think Coolsville sucks. No! Don't record that!
Fred hurries off. Inside, Patrick bends down and picks up a tubular mannequin. Fighting back tears, he tosses it away.
Patrick, I'm so sorry. It must be so hard for you.
No, I'm sorry. I have to go, okay?
Well, I'll go with you.
No!
No, I have to figure out what's going on.
Patrick turns and walks mournfully away through the vast, empty exhibition hall. Velma, still in her red leather catsuit, unzips it. The collar of her orange slip pokes through. She joins the others outside. Fred, Daphne and Velma clamber into the mystery machine van. Velma slouches in the back.
All Fred Jones had to say was...
I think Coolsville sucks!
In light of the city's recent chaos, Jones's response was disheartening to their many fans who have supported Mystery Inc. over the years. Perhaps it's time for the crime-solving gang to ship out. This is Heather Jasper Howe for investigating.
Daphne strides up to Heather.
What's with the personal attacks?
Look, I'm a huge fan. It's just my editor
and... Who are you kidding?
Who are you kidding? Don't think I don't know your game. What do you do for the gang? Really? Velma's the smart one. Fred's the leader. All you are is a pretty little face.
Why are you doing this?
Because it's my job to unmask those who pretend to be who they're not.
Heather turns away from Daphne.
Unmask those? You sound like...
Heather smirks at Daphne.
Sound like who? The evil masked guy. But you know that. Because just as you know I'm standing here, you know that I know who you know you are, which is him, who's a her, which is you.
Oh, now I see what you do for the gang. You're in charge of incoherent babble.
Mystery Incorporated! Once again, you have proven useless before my power. Because of you, soon Coolsville will be mine.
The masked figure disappears from the rooftop.
Darn it! Thanks a lot! The scoop of the night! Gone! Can't you do anything right? Ned, get your camera and follow me!
Guess not.
Daphne, her face taut in a pout, has a final glance up at the building before walking away. Patrick's with a weasel-faced man.
Stop wasting my time! You hear me? Now I want you to question all of your scumbucket friends. You'll find out what they know about those stolen costumes, or else you'll be known from here on in as the soiled underwear ghost. I want answers! Now go!
Yes, sir.
Now!
Yes, sir.
The two men are in the old town. The weasel-faced man barges past Shaggy and Scooby, who are sauntering along the street. Patrick spots them.
Patrick. Shaggy. Scooby. What are you guys doing here?
Well, we just came down here to be undercover and stuff.
Huh. Me too. Yeah, my museum got broken into again, so I had to come down here and try and get some answers, you know. Gotta put on the tough guy act, otherwise these guys will delete me alive. What's the matter, you don't believe me?
Bro?
I'm kidding! That's the thing, it's the tough guy act.
That's good.
Boom! It was a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. You had a lot of fun.
Try it, Scoop.
Rule.
It needs work.
Shaggy sees Wickles in the distance.
Look, Patrick, we could stay here and do this all night, and something tells me you would, but we gotta make, like, your personality and split.
Okay.
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo do just that, leaving a very puzzled Patrick behind. A sign reads Coolsville Mining Company. Beneath it, on wooden gates, keep out, condemned. Wickles goes up to the gates. The old man with a cane in his hand strides into the complex. Old mine wheels lie scattered about. Behind him, two bushes are following him. The one on the left has a waggling tail. They stop. Shaggy emerges from one with a tin can attached to a piece of string.
Scooby-Doo! Scoop!
Milo?
Scooby-Doo, can you hear me?
Milo-Raggy?
Wickles has led us into like a terrifying ghost town.
Ghost town?
Yes, a ghost town.
Scooby yells down his can. Hearing the noise, Wickles turns round.
Darn bushes yowling at me again.
The old mine complex has a high factory-type building inside it. Shag is on tiptoe.
Quiet, Scooby.
Okay.
They lope along, keeping a wary eye around them. They enter an outhouse.
Like, where'd old man Nutjob go? Through here, Scoob?
Well, I don't know.
They sneak along back to back. Ever watchful, they cross from the shadows past a moonlit window, then return to the shadows. Passing the next window, Scooby's in Shaggy's arms. At the next window, Scoob's carrying Shaggy, who realizes he's holding the skeleton monster. Shaggy and Monster are both shocked.
Run, Scoob! It's a skelly thingy!
The skeleton monster crashes to pieces on the floor. Shaggy falls flat on his face and Scooby crashes into pick handles which are upright on the floor. He swings on one, a lever.
Really? Good
work, pal! All right, let's get out of here!
They race through doors opened by the lever and jump in an elevator. The mystery machine's at the mine.
So what's your assessment, Velmster?
This place seems harmless enough.
I mean, regarding whether the evil masked figure could have gotten his randomonium from here,
oh,
at the mine?
Sorry. I was just thinking about Patrick. He seemed so upset when he left.
Right. So...
And... he doesn't like me.
Okay. So your assessment is?
Love stinks. Red? Do you think I'm just a pretty face?
No. I mean, yes. I mean, not fat. Definitely not fat. Is this sort of what you're looking for?
Fat? Why would you even use that word?
Velma pulls a face. Fred sees movement through a window. Wickles is addressing a group.
At last, all these years of careful planning have culminated in this one glorious...
Old man Wickles. Caught red-handed in your foul monster-making scheme with your ugly, evil henchmen.
The men step forward.
Henchmen? Young man, we're investors, and we're listening to his pitch. Shh.
So, as I was saying, the old-time mining town. A summer camp for kids where they can have an authentic mining experience. They can dig for 18 hours straight, just like in the golden days of yore. They have the time of their lives, and we get free miners.
Mr. Wickles, we need to ask you a few questions about your ties to recent monster attacks.
I don't know nothing about no monsters.
Well, then how come there was randomonium on the floor of your mansion?
There's randomonium all over the place. Look it. I come home with it in my shorts.
Are you continuing the work of your old pal, Jonathan Jacobo?
Old pal, Jacobo? We hated each other. In the prison cafeteria, he used to steal my tater tots. And he got the lead in My Fair Lady.
Then why did we find the monster book in your library?
Wait a second. You're the runts who vandalized my home. Which one of you stole my toilet brush?
Gentlemen.
The investors leave.
I'm sorry, Jeremiah.
What happened? I haven't finished. Wait, fellas.
In the mine.
Wowee, Scooby-Doo. I think we're on to something.
The elevator's descending.
It's like a huge laboratory.
The elevator stops. Scooby-Doo leaps out of the elevator and Shaggy follows. No sooner does he shut the gate than the elevator starts to rise.
This place is like Clutopia, Scoob.
There are flasks, test tubes, stones, and a mirror. Scooby passes it, then jumps back.
Refrigerate!
Scooby-Doo pulls open the mirror door of the fridge. Inside it, more flasks and vials.
Remini!
He slurps some, his mouth expands.
Check it out! Look at those weird letters, Scoob.
Scoob is transformed.
Reggie?
His eyes are on stalks, his stomach's huge, and he has tentacles.
Scooby-Doo, you turned into a freaky monster. You don't eat stuff that grows. Now there's gotta be an antidote in here somewhere. Here, try this, Scoob. It looks medicinal.
It's a beaker with blue liquid. Shaggy licks some, which has spilled on his fingers.
Tastes like soup.
They both jig about. Scooby starts to change.
Strawberries!
Shaggy looks at the reflection of his face.
I'm okay, Snoop.
His face falls when he realizes it's the same, but he now has the curvaceous body of a young woman. He turns to Scooby-Doo.
I've got a chick's body!
I'm a Tasmanian rebel.
Scooby has transformed into the cartoon Tasmanian devil. Shaggy dives back into the fridge. He tosses one test tube behind him, then throws some of the contents of a conical flask over Scooby and drinks the rest. Shaggy's muscles tremble and expand till he looks like a bodybuilder.
I'm buff!
Scooby looks like Einstein.
God, it seems as if I've become ludicrously intelligent. It's awful. Oh, I long for the blissful ignorance of my former self. Chasing cats, licking my own rear end, eating my own vomit. Oh, those were wonderful times.
Check out my pecs, little man.
Hush now, buffoon. This is a highly combustible synthesis.
What?
I'm going to transform us back!
No way, Geek!
What?
I'm gonna stay this way forever!
Muscle Man Shaggy throws the flask. It explodes.
Let's go!
The other three members of Mystery Inc. set off down the elevator. Left on his own, Wickles scuttles off.
Careful, Geek.
The elevator reaches the smoke-filled lab. Fred leads the two girls to where the flask exploded. They turn on hearing a voice.
This Schwarzeneggian oaf almost destroyed us.
Go boom.
Oh, you are embarrassing.
Professor Scooby throws some liquid from a flask into Shaggy's mouth, then swallows some of the liquid himself. Daphne, Velma, and Fred watch as the two others cavort about, then gradually return to normal.
That was almost exactly like my freshman year in college.
What are you guys doing here? You're supposed to be sick, Scooby.
I invented erosion.
You lied to us. We're a team. You don't just go off half-cocked doing whatever you want.
Hey, gang.
An inscription.
Beware who enters the monster hive. Inside, your fears will come alive.
The inscription's above the hole created by the exploding flask. All five members of Mystery Inc. pass through the hole and enter a vast chamber.
Oh, my.
Look, it's the costumes from the museum.
The zombie. Minor 49er.
Captain Cutler.
Bet they're all here.
He must use the costumes to make real monsters, which implies...
He needs the costumes to make the monsters, which implies...
He already had a pterodactyl ghost costume, somehow, which implies...
Velma stands stock still, her eyes wide open.
Patrick's the one.
Oh, Velma's in love.
No, I mean the one. The bad guy. That's why he wanted to go out with me. To see what we knew.
We just saw Patrick at the bad guy's hangout. He was working both sides of Psycho Street, huh?
I don't know who's behind this, but we don't need him transforming any more costumes. Let's find a way to shut down this monster maker for good.
Guys, it's over here. This light is strange.
Psst, Scooby-Doo. We're the ones that found this place. Score one for the big guys. We need to keep acting like Mondo Groovy detectives. Come on.
Okay.
Shaggy steps on a metal plate. Behind Shaggy and Scooby, a large sphere descends. They spin round to see it.
Wowee!
The open-fronted sphere contains a control panel. Shaggy and Scooby enjoy pressing it.
Cool! Like tunage! My name is Shaggy Fresh, and I'm the best at solving crimes. When the monsters see my face, they start to scream and shake like a girl with Justin Timberlake.
My name is Scooby Fresh.
They're unaware they're activating the monster creation program.
We're the greatest detective!
Their first creation, a zombie, emerges from a metal pod.
We're the greatest detective!
They both turn around as a second monster emerges.
Captain Cutler!
Minor 49! Car monster! Yes. To remain calm!
Calm, Scooby-Doo! And I'm being calm!
I needed that. I needed that, too.
You're pushing your luck, Scoob.
The four monsters advance on the hapless duo as Daphne, Velma, and Fred walk back.
You girls find anything?
needed it.
Excuse me.
Fred, disconnect that control panel. Maybe it'll stop the machine.
Fred's up on a walkway. He races across it, slides down the rails of a stairway, and dashes to the sphere. He hauls out the circular control panel. Miner 49er breathes out a ball of fire, which Fred ducks under. Captain Cutler draws out a harpoon. The barbed double arrows shoot towards Fred, who leaps acrobatically to avoid them. The zombie monster holds his head. Another monster sparks to life.
Fight the 10,000 volt ghost! We're gonna die!
Stay positive!
We're gonna die quickly!
Wait for me!
As the elevator rises, the 10,000 volt ghost enters a junction box and travels through the electricity cave. He comes out up top behind Mystery Inc. Aww. Two skeletons leap out, one loses its body, its friend puts it together again. Shaggy and Scooby are up on high.
Run, Red!
Shaggy opens a door to nowhere. Scooby collides with him and Shaggy falls. Scooby lands on top of him. They beat it. The skeletons leap out after them.
Stop! Destroy the city if you have to, but get me that control panel! With it, they can destroy everything I've set out to do!
Hurry up, Ben! We need to find Shaggy and Scooby!
End of the line, Mystery!
Daphne, Velma and Fred climb into the van. Electric current surges towards them.
Fuck, Scoob!
Down the hillside from the mine, Shaggy and Scooby are still on the run. They stop at a sheer drop. Shaggy picks up a dustbin lid.
Let's rip it, Scoob! Oh,
Shaggy leaps off the cliff face and snowboards down the hillside on the bin lid. Scooby tosses another bin lid in the air and catches it in his teeth and follows suit after a little somersault in the moonlight. The skeletons reach the drop. One kicks the other, shapes its body like a sledge and sets off on it down the hill.
Freaking run! Like this pipe's ripping, Scoob! Zoinks!
Scooby is on his back on his bin-lid snowboard. He sees the skeletons gaining on them. Shaggy takes off over a ridge, so does Scooby, who floats head down. The skeletons are level with Scooby, banging on his bin-lid. Back on his feet, on the lid, he spins it round like a wheel. He swings one way round a tree, then gets back in snowboard mode, still pursued by the skeletons. Another tree looms. Scooby swings full circle around a branch and lands behind the skeletons. They see him, then turn back to face another tree. Bones fly everywhere. Scooby catches a head and kicks it behind him. He reaches another ledge and glides to a halt on it.
Scooby!
Not so Shaggy, who bumps into Scooby and they fall into the open door of the Mystery Inc. machine van.
Are you guys okay?
Sure. As long as you define okay as massive agony.
We should get back to headquarters.
No, that'll be the first place the monsters will look for us.
I think I know where to go.
Road rage strikes Coolsville.
Move that worthless piece of tin! Unlike some of you!
As tempers fray in the midtown traffic jam, a ghostly galleon hovers into view above the lanes of blocked traffic. The citizens of Coolville panic and start to flee. Aboard the galleon, the evil masked man.
Citizens, turn in Mystery Inc. Your reward. We'll let you live. My monsters can make life very unpleasant.
The tar monster rises from the road and reaches out black, treacly tentacles. One slinks its way through the open window of a car and twists itself round the driver's neck.
Find me, Mystery Inc., now!
Heather Jasper Howe with an emergency update for Investigative Probe. A monster army has invaded Coolsville. Angry citizens have gathered outside Mystery Inc.'s offices in protest. They're insisting that the gang cooperate with the evil masked figure's demands.
The pterodactyl ghost flies over a placard-toting crowd and the zombie is interviewed.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have anything to say for yourself?
It throws up green vomit all over the reporter. Scooby watches on TV. Heather.
I beg you, Mystery Inc., if you can hear me, turn yourselves in.
But if we do, he'll get the control panel back, and the city will be in even worse shape.
He'll be playing right into his hands.
Please, for our city's sake.
The studio doors crash open and the Black Knight strides in.
Sorry, you're cancelled.
Color bars fill the screen as the link goes dead. Mystery Inc. still in the van sit dumbstruck. Night, the mystery machine cruises along a lakeside road through a forested area. The van stops by an old house. The doors open and the gang clamber out.
The old high school clubhouse.
A dilapidated sign has Mystery Inc. painted on it.
We should be safe here. We haven't been here in years.
Fred is still sitting solemnly at the driving wheel. Looking in. Daphne spies him and walks round to his window.
Freddy, are you okay? Do you want to talk?
Talking's for wimps.
With a sulky expression on his face, Fred pushes the door open. He stares at Daphne.
It's time for action.
Shaggy and Scooby are by the van sliding door.
You know, Scoob, this evil masked figure is turning Coolsville into Ghoulsville. And the gang is totally taking a hit for it. This is the most our faultiest screw-up ever, Scoob.
Velma tries the generator. The lights come on.
Still works.
She opens a trap door.
Oh, look. All my old tools.
Fred charges in and stops.
After all our so-called success, we're back in this old fire trap.
He sees an early photograph of the gang standing in a park. He picks it up, and his memory goes back in time. Shaggy and Velma in shorts and Scooby clutching a frisbee.
Fred!
The younger Shaggy throws a frisbee to Velma, who drops it. The frisbee flies over Fred's head. Daphne grabs it and Fred chases her. Everyone is smiling and happy. The much smaller Scooby-Doo leaps up to try and grasp the frisbee from Shaggy. Scooby leaps after the frisbee and thwacks headfirst into a tree. The others wince. Fred's memories fade.
It all seemed so easy back then.
Yeah. We solve mysteries for the love of them. Not to prove anything to anyone. Yeah. And the mysteries all seemed to unravel themselves. Sometimes the answers would just appear like magic. Hey. My first multiple resonance imaging device. Made out of a crystal radio and an old video game.
Her smile fades.
Wait a minute. Randomonium has an algorithmic cross-currency of -4.121. With it, maybe... Well, just maybe...
We can reverse the current, and therefore reverse the monster-making process.
Yes, all we need to do is rewire the control panel, bring it back to the monster hive, and we can plug it into the base.
Right, then we'll push the button.
And instead of creating monsters, all the monsters throughout the city will be destroyed.
Velma grins broadly and nods in agreement. Using a disc-shaped slide rule instrument, Velma makes her calculations on paper. She hands them over to Daphne, who sits at a desk, then uses tweezers to pick up a piece of circuitry from a board and shimmies over to the control panel to slot it in place. Standing close to the control panel is Fred, who has an oxyacetylene torch in his hands. He holds the blue flame over a dish. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo stand forlornly in the dark outside the clubhouse looking in.
Like they're totally having a montage in there without us. I'll tell you one thing for sure, Scoob. They don't need our help to figure it out.
We're grew-ups.
Yeah. The only time we ever do anything right is when we accidentally plow into the snow ghost because we've accidentally glued our feet to rocket-powered roller skates.
Well, eight stupid times.
Face it, Scoob. We'll never be anything but our old goofy selves. I wish once, just once, I could do the right thing on purpose.
He stares out over the lake.
You know, Scoob? I'd be a hero and save the day.
Shaggy looks at the ground by his feet.
Who are we kidding, right?
He He picks up a pebble and tosses it. Bubbles and a green phosphorescent light appear. A figure in a diving helmet emerges from the lake. He gets closer. The others hear Shaggy.
They found us! You have to finish that in the van while we get to the monster hut!
Captain Cutler reaches the shore. Captain Cutler fires his harpoon. Two arrowheads pierce the back doors. One close to Scooby's throat, the captain hauls on the harpoon's ropes and the van halts.
What are we doing?
Fine, let's go back!
Fred reverses at speed, Shaggy and Scooby watch in horror as they close in on Captain Cutler. Now at full speed, Fred guns the van's engine in the back.
For the most terrifying day of my life.
Time was what?
Every other freaking day of my life.
It's done.
The mystery machine roars through the city streets. At an intersection, it goes straight ahead. Above it, the pterodactyl ghost beats its colossal wings.
Shaggy's Sweetie's back.
Shaggy?
Yeah?
I'm putting her in cruise. Take the wheel.
No.
Fred moves to the back, followed by Daphne. Shaggy makes his way to the wheel as the pterodactyl plunges its talons into the roof and lifts the van's rear wheels off the ground. The van thuds down and Fred kicks the back doors open. Fred ignites his blowtorch. The pterodactyl knocks it away.
This is bad.
No doubt.
Shaggy?
Yeah.
Who's driving?
Scoob is in the passenger seat.
Hello.
Scoob!
What?
As they look to the front, the pterodactyl claws the van's rug, hauling the four of them out of the van. Daphne and Velma cling on. The rug swings from side to side behind the van. Fred and Shaggy struggle to climb back on board. Ahead of them, a big truck is driven by the zombie.
Scooby! Turn the wheel!
Wheel? Scooby! Turn the wheel!
The van is heading straight for the truck. Scoob is behind the wheel.
Scooby!
Okay!
Scooby veers right, the truck left, and they miss each other, much to the consternation of the zombie. Scooby raises his paws in triumph. The others scrabble back into the van as the pterodactyl attacks again. Scooby drives erratically down the street and under a huge advertising hoarding, which the pterodactyl hits head on. Its head replaces the baby's face in the diapers ad.
You did it, Scooby!
Scooby drives the mystery machine through the open gates of the old mine and crashes to a halt.
All right, gang. The monster's hive is right over there. Let's get this control panel and plug her in.
They turn in horror to see the Black Knight in full armor astride a black charger emerge from the gloom. The horse's red eyes shine in the dark. The knight holds a lance. He stops a short distance from the gang.
You go nowhere, knave.
You guys take the long way around.
He steps forward.
I'll hold him off.
The knight's green eyes glow.
Come on!
Go get him, Fred.
Shaggy scuttles away after Velma. Scooby follows, then finally Daphne. Fred comes upon a motorcycle covered in old sackcloth. He unveils it to reveal a Ducati Indiana in mint condition. He puts a leg over it as the knight's charger grows restless. It paws the ground with its hooves. Fred, with a helmet and astride the Ducati, grabs a length of pipe and moves out to face the Black Knight. Fred ties on a red ascot neckerchief. He looks grim as he stares at the knight ahead of him. The knight, the lance held out under his left arm, sets his horse in motion. Fred sits eyes fixed on his opponent. Fred revs the bike. The knight gallops towards the unflinching Fred. The length of pipe is fixed to the handlebars of the bike. Fred takes a blow to his shoulder. The knight slows his black steed. Fred skids the Ducati Indiana a full circle and flexes his shoulder elsewhere in the compound. The others are still legging it. Up pops the 10,000-volt monster.
So fast!
Daphne's separated from the others.
You guys go! I'll take care of Sparky. Just get that control panel to the hive.
Let's go, go, go!
You got it, Daph!
Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby race off. Back at the jousting tournament, Fred fires up the bike's engine. Daphne stands defiantly in front of the towering 10,000-volt monster. She adopts a martial arts pose.
Scary.
Taste the pain, Mr. Glowy Ugly Thing.
Fred speeds towards the knight. The lance hits him in the chest. Fred and the knight fall to the ground. Daphne leaps into her opponent. From a tower of sparks, she's tossed high in the air over a rooftop and lands beside Fred.
Daph. Daph, are you okay?
I think so.
The two lie facing each other. Daphne smiles fondly.
Guess this is it, huh?
Oh, baby.
Fred shakes his head and looks away.
I'm afraid. I'm a wimp, huh?
That doesn't make you a wimp. Makes you human.
Velma, carrying the control panel, leads Shaggy and Scooby. They stop when they see shadows.
A skeleton man.
He does that when he gets nervous.
Rory!
The three of them in a line step backwards, then about turn and run. They run towards a corrugated iron fence and lean against it. Velma turns to Shaggy.
Here. Shaggy, take this.
Why are you giving this to me?
I'll distract those skeletal screwballs. You and Scooby get this to the monster hive.
Us?
Yes. You're faster than me. Once there, just plug it into the base. Push this button. I fixed it so it'll destroy all the monsters.
But we can't.
We're grown-ups.
I mean, we tried to be heroes like you guys, but we're not, okay? We're just not.
Bro.
Like me.
Velma crouches down in front of Shaggy.
It's funny. I always wanted to be like you guys. You guys are so free. You're never afraid to be who you really are. Whether you're fearful or joyful or hungry. I think you've been heroes all along. You just haven't known it.
Shaggy stares intently at Velma, who smiles.
Here I go.
Velma rises and tiptoes away, leaving Shaggy holding the control panel.
Heroes.
Heroes.
On your knees, knave.
Can't you see we're talking?
Talking is for wimps.
The knight points his sword.
Can't fool me with that macho facade. You're just afraid to show your sensitive side.
Ooh, you've touched my inner child. And he's really mad.
Fred and Daphne run off.
Let's go.
Okay.
Head down, Shaggy bumps into someone's chest. Minor 49er breathes out a ball of fire. Shaggy and Scooby duck under it, then jump over a second. Shaggy takes off, followed by Scooby, chased by the Miner, who barges through a wooden fence.
I'll get you, you varmints!
Velma comes close to the skeletons and flings a pebble. She races off, the skeletons hot on her heels. In a building, they collide, but still close in on the running Velma, who glances behind her. One takes off the other's head and throws it. It embeds itself in a door, its huge green eyes staring wildly. The rest of its body sticks the head back on. Outside, the knight and the 10,000-volt monster close in on Daphne and Fred.
Dead end!
Daphne spotted jump leads.
Remember when you were young and you used to wear that jumper?
Me?
And
a jumper?
And we used to watch cable!
Forced back against the van, Fred sees the leads and grabs them.
Get down!
Daphne flips a metal rod into two crocodile clips and throws it into the electric monster. Fred clips the other end of the leads to the knight's sword and mail tunic. Fred and Daphne beat a hasty retreat as the current flows between the two monsters.
Lock out!
They explode in a flurry of sparks and white light. The knight's helmeted head rolls to the ground. Velma is still being chased by the two skeletons. She dives into a funnel-shaped pipe. As she disappears from their view, a metal grill shuts over the funnel. The skeletons crash into it before the funnel falls on top of them. Velma lands in a pile of ash. The miner finds Shaggy and Scooby.
Taste this, Daddy-O! It's a real gas!
As the miner breathes out fire, Scooby breaks wind. The miner keels over.
Come on! Let's go, Scoob!
Okay.
Ow, wee! My glasses!
Brother, not again. I've got to consider contact lenses.
Velma's lost her glasses. As she clambers about, she touches something and a wheel in front of her starts to turn. She realizes it's the reel of a projector and there's a black and white film of a young man in a lab on screen. A candle-covered shrine is beside her. Above it, a model of a pterodactyl.
Some kind of scary bat. Wait a minute.
A newspaper headline, pterodactyl sightings over Coolsville.
It's the pterodactyl. The pterodactyl ghost.
Velma picks up a newspaper cutting and tries to read it.
What's this?
The photograph in the cutting bears the headline Enthusiasm High for New Coolsville Museum. Velma screws her eyes up to stare at the long-haired man in the photo. She puts it in a pocket, then finds a framed photograph of the man in the film in a lab with children. Velma's eyes open wide.
A shrine to Jonathan Jacobo. But who would be so obsessed with him?
Deep in thought, she puts a finger to her lower lip. Her eyes dart about.
Velma!
She spins round.
Lose something?
The man in front of her holds out her spectacles. Velma reaches out and grabs them. She takes a few paces backwards as she puts them on. She looks up in surprise.
Patrick.
Hands in pockets, Patrick moves towards her.
What are you doing here?
I'm trying to solve this mystery. Same as you. I mean, that is what you're doing, right? Trying to solve this mystery?
Yes.
She glances at the shrine.
Why are you so obsessed with Jonathan Jacobo?
Patrick reaches out a hand.
What are you talking about?
Don't wait, Jose.
Velma. Velma! Velma!
They're up on a walkway.
Stay away from me. I know who you are.
She falls through a hole in the walkway and Patrick lunges to grab her by the wrist.
Velma, let go of the grate.
So I can fall to my death?
No, so I can pull you up.
She has one hand on the metal grate above her head.
You gotta trust me.
No, I only trust the facts. And all the facts say that you're the evil masked figure.
What does your heart say?
I don't know. It's beating too loud for me to hear.
Look deeper. You gotta trust me.
Patrick clings on and Velma releases her hold on the grate. She grabs his arm with her free hand and slowly he heaves her back onto the walkway. He stands in front of her, puffing and panting from his exertions.
You saved my life.
He pushes her away as the pterodactyl strikes. The pterodactyl soars away with Patrick in its talons.
The best thing we can do for him right now is to get that control panel back where it belongs.
Velma's eyes dart from side to side.
Where is it? I gave it to Shaggy and Scooby.
That's weird. It sounded like you just said you gave it to Shaggy and Scooby.
Fred and Daphne stare incredulously at Velma, who nods her head. Inside the mine, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo come to a set of wooden doors. They push them shut and bolt them.
I think we lost them! We may run.
You should never have left those gloves. Now you're stuck in here with me, the Cotton Candy Glove.
Cotton Candy Glove?
Yes.
Scooby licks his lips and he and Shaggy dive in.
No! I'll give you cavities.
I don't see Shaggy and Scooby anywhere.
Poor guys are probably running around helpless and terrified.
Sated, they descend in the elevator.
This is like the greatest day of our lives, Scoob. Finally, a monster we can sink our teeth into. You know, Scoob, I'm kind of thirsty. I wonder if there's a liter-sized soda glob anywhere.
Come on, guys. We have to hurry.
Come on.
We have to get this control panel back before...
Fred grabs the control panel and they all run towards the monster-making machine. Zombie, Miner 49er, and the skeletons bar their way.
Before exactly that happens.
At last I have Mystery Inc. You'll never make it past my monster.
I've taken these jerks before, gang. Let's do it again.
Fred dashes towards them, but his feet stick to the tar monster.
It's not them you need to worry about.
The huge blob of tar rears up.
Now you are stuck in my trap.
Daphne!
Fred flings the control panel like a frisbee to Daphne. The tar heads for her. The blob towers over her and picks her up, still holding the control panel. Velma runs.
No! Daphne!
Daphne flings the control panel. She catches it on the ground and flings it to Shaggy, who drops it. He grabs it before the tar monster can.
Soon your friends will be dead and Coolsville destroyed. My revenge will be final, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Wilma?
Scooby watches the gang being covered entirely in tar.
Raffy? Raggy?
Scoob!
He backs into a fire extinguisher. Scooby, a look of determination on his face, wrenches the fire extinguisher from the wall. He strides up to the entrapped Shaggy, shakes the canister, then sprays the tar, freezing it. The frozen tar around Shaggy shatters.
My frostbite never felt so good!
Stop them!
The monsters charge.
Come on, Scooby!
Scooby races off, spraying as he goes. As the tar reaches out for him, Scooby freezes it and leaps up high. He snowboards on the extinguisher along a pipe, then down a tentacle of freezing tar as if in a vortex. The blob closes in on Scooby. It rises up in front of him.
End of the line! Come here, you worthless mutt!
Scooby frowns. He flips up the extinguisher, then aims the nozzle at the blob's big eye and mouth. It frizzes. Scooby kicks out the nozzle and bursts into the frozen mass. It shatters. Scooby lands on the skeletons, knocking their heads together. The frozen bits of the tar monster fall back into place, and Scooby slips between the zombie's legs, removing his trousers. Miner 49er swings his pick. Scooby lassoes the end, and as the miner raises the pick, Scooby flies over his head. Shaggy flings the control panel frisbee-like.
You doing, buddy?
About to catch the control panel, Scooby spots the pterodactyl swooping in. Scooby doggy paddles in midair to grab the control panel in his mouth. The pterodactyl flies into the tar monster's open mouth. Scooby lands.
You can't do this to me! Who do you think you are?
Scooby? Gooby! Go!
Scooby slams the control panel in place and presses the switch. The monsters start to disintegrate. The tar monster lowers Daphne to the floor and its tentacles untwine themselves from Fred. Velma lies on the ground, tar free. The blob rises one more time. Then sinks down.
My monsters!
The evil masked figure runs down the upper walkway, then slips through the hole in the grating and dangles dangerously. The gang celebrate. Shaggy scratches Scooby and Velma pats the dog. Daphne gives Scooby a kiss and is licked in return. Outside, crowds and reporters rush to Mystery Inc. and their masked captive.
Mystery Inc., do you know the identity of the evil masked figure behind it all?
Well, if our hunch is correct, the evil masked figure is...
Heather, the blonde TV reporter.
Heather Jasper Howe.
Uh-huh.
Scooby's surprised.
But she was at the museum when the masked figure was on the roof.
You almost had me there, didn't you? Lucky for her, she had an assistant helping her along with her evil plans.
Patrick watches as Daphne points.
Ned.
Uh-huh.
Heather's cameraman. He makes a run for it.
When I realized she was the evil masked figure, he quickly changed into her costume.
But why did she do it?
Because Heather Jasper Howe is actually...
Velma removes a rubber mask from Heather.
Dr. Jonathan Jacobo. The original pterodactyl ghost.
But how do you know this?
A photo. Taken of Jacobo in front of the Coulsonian. Jacobo supposedly died a year before construction even began.
So Jacobo survived that fall off the prison wall.
He also adapted the false Heather Jasper Howe persona to turn the press against us.
And then he framed poor hideous old man Wickles by putting that book and the Black Knight ghost in his mansion.
As if you getting the lead in My Fair Lady wasn't enough. I was an excellent Eliza. You were too acting and stealing my tater tots. You kept saying you felt puffy.
And the real identity of Ned is...
Fred pulls Ned's hair.
Ow. Ned!
I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling punks and their dumb dog!
While everyone cheers, Ned turns to Jacobo.
You're a dude this whole time?
Of course, Dunkoff.
But we cuddled.
Jacobo and Ned are loaded into a police van as the crowds disperse. Velma walks over to Patrick.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, Velma, I know that must have seemed very suspicious, but you've got
no.
to believe me that I had nothing to
no.
do.
I trust you. Listen, Patrick. I'm not glamorous or mysterious. But one thing that's true is that I like you. Very much. And I would like to go out with you again. But this time, I will go as myself.
They stare tenderly at each other.
I'd like that. More than anything.
Okay.
He holds out his hand. She takes it in hers and they stride off, smiling. Fred signs an autograph, then turns to see Daphne.
Hey. They're cheering for us again.
Yep. I always thought that was the best thing in the world. I guess I found something a little bit better.
Shaggy's with a reporter.
Okay.
Shaggy, can we get your photo in this?
Yes.
Shaggy struggles to lift Captain Cutler's diving helmet. Eventually, he puts it on and starts making monster noises. Scooby sees him. He grabs a mic shaped like a mallet and wallops the Shaggy monster with it. Shaggy removes the helmet.
Hi, Scoob! It's me, man!
Scooby leaps on Shaggy, knocking him to the ground. He smothers him in licks. Fred and Daphne kiss. Old man Wickles puts an arm around Patrick and the Velma fan club cheer.
Scooby-dooby-doo!
At a party...
Sing it up, Ruben! Oh.
Fred and Daphne are dancing together, so too are Velma and Patrick. Shaggy has the centre of the floor to himself. Scooby's up on stage with vocalist Ruben Studdard. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Scooby moves down onto the floor to join the gang and Patrick in a line at the front of the dancers. They move forward, then to their left and back, then to their right and back. The picture shrinks as the credits roll. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara and Lonnie Evans was read by Amy DeLara Beattie.
Shining star for you to see. Put your life into that.